presentation. Right now, we're going to start with the life in the Kadashal Pass train, which would be like a panel where we're going to discuss different issues, problems, questions that we all have in common. So I would like to invite Suresh, please, here with us. Terry, Dwayne, come on, from. Don't be shy. I won't charge you. And they have issues and questions that they want to throw to the group, and we will see what's going on. We'll work on that.
I'd like to let Suresh
start this session.
I'm Suresh from Sekumarika. Yeah, I like Emilio's wording, life in cholesterol fast lane. We are going on fast lane, but we are really behind. Yeah. I have a few questions, but most of them I had managed to discuss with other counties, and but now it's put in the process to get more views and ideas from other counties. First one is verifying legal deeds, grant deeds and other deed grants. Most of the counties, they verify the legals, like it's a wrong legal. In some counties that I had, they do not verify, they leave on the escrow company to write the correct legal. So anybody has any suggestions? The legal, on ground deed, the wrong legal descriptions, do other members verify if the legal is correct or not, or some counties they do not verify, just leave it on the extra company or title company.
How many counties verify your legal descriptions?
So quite a bit. So what are the things that you people check, like accuracy, like wordings, and or very accurate, or what you let go or what you don't let go?
I'll start. Fresno County. We verify every legal that comes to us. Only the more difficult ones get sent to us from our property managers. They just have a lot of block tracks, which is probably the majority of what the counties do. It's a toss-up sometimes on how picky you should get or shouldn't get when you're reviewing the legal, because if you're gonna reject something for every little coarse typo or distance, you may be writing a whole lot of I call it problem document letters to the clients, because they've got a problem with their legal. It also takes quite a bit of time to do research. I don't like signing a letter out to somebody when I haven't checked to make sure that what I'm telling them is accurate. So, but I write a couple of hundred, or maybe 300 or 400 documents a year, problem letters a year, and it keeps about. Keeps one of my cadastral techs about half busy, just doing that. I varied my severity in the past, and being more picky and less picky, and I found that if I don't at least maintain some bit of a standard over time, the legals just get worse and worse and worse. I've researched some where they go back 10 or 15 years with six or seven documents, and every time they record it, they record a new problem. So eventually, it's going to be, you know, pretty much unreal. So you can't be the title police, but eventually you're going to have to say something, or you won't be able to figure out where that parcel is or what they actually own.
You agree, yes.
Yes.
I know in Nevada County, if I get a description that describes more than the parcel in which they own, we will transfer title on just that that they own.
Yes. Do you send a letter to them? Tell them they overstated their property?
Sometimes a phone call, sometimes a letter. It depends on which tech is.
Yeah, I send letters out in that case, whether it's overstating property or understating property. The last one I did was, the you know, attorney was trying to clear an estate, and he was using illegals from deeds that they'd sold off 15, 20 years. And so I pointed all these things out, and when they were sold and on what document, he calls up and was pretty embarrassed, but you know, he couldn't fix it, so.
Thank you. Yeah, if you don't cover the ones that describe more property later on, 10, 15 years later, some property owners want to say, you made a mistake, this is my parcel, then you got to do more research. For us, we are picky, but if it's a non-reappraisable transfer, we bypass those. Everything else, the revision with others. Hey.
Yeah, in Santa Cruz, we are pretty picky. We would write letters for horses in the wrong quadrant, even. Because if we don't deal with it when we first pass it, those problems will be perpetuated in the next transfers. So we will write letters for those and request the correction. And it sometimes takes a while, but if we hold up the transfer, they will correct it.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried holding up transfers one year. No, I don't do that. I do everything per intent. If I can possibly figure out what they intended or what we think they intended, because one year I did that, and for the next 4 years we were trying to do, because the person wouldn't correct it, but they'd sell the property the next time, and then sometimes they would fix it in the next deed, but they wouldn't fix it, you know, for the current deed. And it was a very big hassle trying to catch up sometimes.
Yeah, I was wondering how many counties just transfer the property if it has the right agent and right ownership.
Yeah, I know some of the counties, they do that, right? Plus the county, we talked to them.
About 2 years ago, Madera County, the assessor set the policy that the agent is correct, ownership is good, they just transfer it. They don't read the legals at all.
Okay. Yeah, some of the counties.
So how many counties? So how many counties?
Yeah.
Right.
Which counties?
The errors we have is between maybe 3% and 5% at the most.
Right. Good one. Two so that's,
I know. Plus, I can't even say they don't verify.
Yeah, I talked to them.
Okay.
Santa Barbara County sends out a letter pretty much on every error, unless it's an easy typo. We will hold on to some for a while to see if that is, see if that has any effect on whether people get excited about it. Eventually, at least by the end of the year, we usually go by the fact that does this property, can this legal description describe any other property besides the one they're trying to transfer. If it could somehow describe more than this just one property, we will hold at least past the end of the year until title transfer really starts screaming. But then if we think that legal description, no matter how many errors it has in it, really can't describe anything but that one property, then we end passing it through. But we've sent a letter to all of them.
When you send the letter, do you send it to the grantor and the grantee, or just the grantor? Because we only send it to the grantor, and a lot of times they don't really care. They have their money.
Yeah,
so I think that might be it.
We sent it to the grantee. We used to send it to the grantee and the title company if there was one. And we, of course, we found over the years the title companies care less and less.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, we will send still a lot of times to the attorney and the grantee, but we always send one to the grantee as our main focus.
That's my experience as well. The title company is not doing anything unless the client is complaining.
They won't do it then.
And apparently it's a little bit different because we are the people that want to argue through our target company. Because we think that if the property owner already paid for having the process done, they should get at least a good legal description. And they're being very, they're being helping us a lot and they correct all the ones that we reject.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who do not use title companies.
And on the public recordings, we do send them a letter. If we already accept a legal description with the same error in the past, we send them a letter explaining them that it is something wrong, and for the future one, they need to correct it.
In order to allow it.
For us to, uh-huh.
Thank you.
Sir, please.
Well, I passed out our first California cadastral mapping training proposal. Alameda County typed this up for me, and I couldn't be here, but they asked me to pass this out so that we could get everybody's interest in possible training starting next year. And whether it would be started on like a Wednesday, or we incorporate it in our 2 days that we are together and possibly go later on Friday, that's all open for discussion. So if you could look at the second page, and these are just some of the issues that Custer County felt that we might want more training on, or at least open discussions so that we can see how other counties are handling the same situations. And so if you could, I will email this out to everybody, and maybe in the next month or two, we could receive some emails. Oh, here you can help. I'm out. You might grab.
You did one.
You can use your copy just to look at it. Thank you. They only gave me 25 copies, and we just had no idea how many people would be here. But I will email it out. If I could get feedback on next year's conference that will be in Nevada County, we'll be at the Holiday Inn Express. They do have a nice conference room and classroom, so we do have the opportunity to hold some actual training. And we also need people who are interested in training, or if you know anybody who would be good on training, especially things like easements. I don't know, some counties put easements, some counties don't. I think that's a big issue for my county. I have attorneys calling all the time about why we're showing ingress egress, and I have to research it and show them. And I know there's other counties saying we don't touch those. So I think it might be good to know what our responsibilities are.
Well, I personally go for a Wednesday afternoon. Years in the past, we tried doing a full two-day conference, and the afternoon was always just dead, hardly anybody there, and we stayed for that Friday afternoon. So I think doing a Wednesday afternoon would probably be better because of that.
And possibly there are counties that they might want to send people, maybe not to the conference, but possibly to the training on Wednesday. I just don't know. I just need feedback, or we all need feedback, so we would know what to set up.
Is there people who, kind of by a raise of hands, who thinks that they might be interested in going to a training and be involved in training on a Wednesday? Maybe. And does anybody have any really quick thoughts on what's the most important thing they'd want to do in their training? More survey stuff, more title stuff, more GIS stuff. Hopefully we not do training in GIS perhaps.
But that is an option. Esri has offered to do formal training at anything we want. They will bring computers. I just don't know how many computers they have to put on a class of 560 people. So I just don't
Does anybody have an area that they think is sort of really having trouble catching up on? Is it real estate? Is it surveying?
Reading, writing, legal descriptions.
Yeah, the easement one is, we have issues too, so one of the topics I'm going for the easement.
Easement, common areas.
Common, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Skilo Plaza creation and all that.
Yes.
I was thinking annexation, detachments, those kinds of things where you can have tax rate areas and these cities out.
Yeah, we had a couple of instances where the tax, little city was taking instead of annexing an area, they were just annexing little pieces.
Parcels,
and it was all non-contiguous. SB went crazy because the parcels were so small, they couldn't identify them properly. And they gave us four tax codes, or six tax codes, when really they only needed to give us three but they couldn't tell where these pieces are on their maps because the little properties were so small. They were taking in their little properties that would have been tax exempt if they were within their boundaries. They wanted to incorporate just their little pieces, their little parcels.
What is the target group for the training? Are we talking at the entry level, supervisor level? Who's the target group?
I think we need to find out what you want. I mean, would you prefer supervisors, maybe we do know how to write legal descriptions. Maybe we do under this, but there are other people under your staff that do not, and maybe the training would be for them. I think we're just trying to open the door to see what it is everybody would like to have at a conference.
What do you want?
Yes.
Depending upon what type of level you're planning to do is whether or not you can bring people or I couldn't bring people. I mean,
which level do you want?
People to, to Nevada County, but if it's somewhere local, then that's possible. Or if it's for the entry level where we're going to have a larger number of people, then perhaps we could do some type of online training rather than actually have the people physically there in the building. So I think if we identify the target group, then we might be able to go about making a better training plan.
I think it's a great idea as far as online for a larger group, so maybe we need to concentrate more on people who normally attend the conference. I don't know.
Yeah, one thing I would like to suggest is please go through the list that Terry just gave. She's going to email as soon as possible with everybody else, so we can sit down, because we don't have time to discuss every single item right now. So think about those questions that are most important: what level of training, how many people, what are the possibilities of each individual county, and let her know so she can start planning on that. Also remember, I think there was a request or a memo from CAA or from the counties, at least in our county came from the board, which says that when county employees go out for meetings or trainings, it's better to start from Tuesday through Thursday so they don't have to fly on weekends and the county doesn't have to pay for Saturdays, Sundays, and that kind of thing. So just keep that in mind and give us kind of 3-4 days on the window.
Dwayne,
do
you have something to add?
Sure. A couple things that I've got a whole list of questions, but I've sort of been interested in where our standards are going. I know that we just came out with the concept of VOE giving us new manual standards, and I sort of asked Ralph, what about electronic standards? And I think that the answer that I got was this: Ralph isn't here because the state isn't allowed to travel, so that's why DOE isn't here. You did want to mention that that the ASCII to mention that the state has a new GIO, which they haven't had in the past, so that concept is now kind of new to the state as well. So a new geographic information officer of the state. His name is Mike Burns, and Ralph asked me to mention that that was the name of the new state's
geographic information officer. If the concept of standards are sort of, are we going to be sort of waiting for BOE to hand us some new standards so we'll know where we want to try to go electronically? And or are we assuming that the state's going to follow what we're doing? Or as a, when I was talking to Ralph, he says that the federal government's getting more and more interested in the electronic base maps, and if the state seems to be interested in kind of seeing what the federal government comes out with before the state starts to just get involved and start writing any real standards. One thing Ralph did when I was asking him, I was going, well, I see that when people do a GIS maps, a lot of times it's really hard to get bearings as adaptation on maps and stuff. So I said, you know, how does the state feel about, and it looks like the counties that are doing assessment maps basically GIS are more or less leaving off bearings. And I asked Ralph, well, what's your thoughts on that? Is it going to be okay, if we have less and less information on our assessment maps? And he said, and Ralph's thought was, his comment was, well, as long as you can click on the line and get the information, there won't be a problem. Which, when you think about that, that's already going, well, first off,
that's already a problem, because GIS is not going to do that.
first off, you're not talking about polygons anymore.
No.
Now you're talking about line features within a geodatabase that's going to have tags that are on each of those lines and that sort of thing. And what it said to me is that their starting point is like 10 steps ahead of where, maybe most of the counties in the state already are and they may not be yet or have any plans to be where Ralph is thinking anytime in the next 15 years. So so I think every county has to start kind of thinking about where are we headed. Another question of that is where is our base headed? Right now, where is our assessor's pages sort of headed? And we can all assume that at some point we're not going to have paper maps anymore. And at some point, the assessor's map is going to be a single GIS map. And then, and if you're sitting there and you're going, well, Public Works is the one maintaining our GIS, it's sort of like, well, how is the assessor going to be making this transition from paper to an electronic base map as their catalog of parcels, and their only catalog of parcels, if they're not the ones maintaining it? Does this mean we're going to have to fight? If you have it if your Public Works or a contractor is taking care of your map, are you going to have to try to pull a base back into your department so that you can use it as your framework for doing maps? So that's my question. That's a general question. I will see if I get any responses out of it. What does somebody have to say? Yes.
You got to remember the assessor's map is, you're creating it for that purpose, for the assessor's use.
The appraiser's
And our county, we're not going to transfer or transition into a GIS and lose the assessor's purpose of the map. GIS and assessor's maps don't seem to fulfill the same function. The GIS is a cadastral map, period. Assessor's maps, they've got their own purpose. So when you're saying that both things are going to join into one, not necessarily. Our county is not.
In In Nevada County, I keep AutoCAD maps, and it's all put together by needs and bounds descriptions or by maps submitted to me electronically. So I try to keep it as accurate as possible. I mean, I'm kind of, I mean, it's a little slower, but it does have bearings and distances way more than most counties, I'm sure, because I came from the engineering world and I just can't help myself. But GIS takes my plats and puts them in as a layer into their maps, and they found that when they use the AutoCAD maps, it's so much more accurate than any scan maps they used in the past, that they are trying to get money so that I can get help to do all our maps electronically. Because right now I have probably a couple thousand maps that are still, or at least probably about 1,500 that are still ink on linen. They're not CAD maps yet. But that's just how we do it. So we, it's different.
You need to have the accuracy, the formats, need the legal descriptions. You're giving a lot of that up in the GIS.
Right. Well, they can't change my maps, though. They just can use them.
Go ahead. In front of our contiguous parcel here is being maintained right now by Public Works. There are a lot of counties that are set up like that. We're still creating maps in your coverage. We have to switch like in the next year and a half to like Kern and produce them on a GIS. The economies of scale, I mean, I think GIS is the way to go. I don't think keeping pages and individual sheets are going to be viable in the long term, in the future. So you either have to take control of that cadastral map or hope that you have good cooperation with Public Works. I myself, if they're my maps, I want that layer. So I'm going to take over the layer. Public Works has already said they don't, in my county, said they don't mind giving that away. It doesn't work for them. But you're still going to have to maintain the same level of cartography in the GIS for the assessor. You can't just throw away all your annotations and go with the cartoon picture, because you won't be able to parcel from that cartoon picture. You need some kind of meets and bounds. Fresno maps always have the courses, the angles, but mostly just the distances. But that is essential information when you're trying to parcel from a legal description, and that's what these maps are built for. Cadastral based maps, so that you can find the land based on the legal description. So if you don't have that annotation on that map to some scale of similar to what we have now, you're not fulfilling your mandate to maintain a cadastral map, in my opinion.
By the state.
So I think you're going to have to. I'm Fresno County. We're moving toward the GIS with the Esri products, but you can do the same thing with other software, but I don't think you can throw away all the annotation that most assessor maps are rich with.
Okay, one more
thing. Well, just going to comment that our maps after moving to GIS do not look any different than our paper maps. They have the same content. We never have bearings on our maps. It's been a long time, but we were able to completely reproduce them the way they have been before when we went to GIS. So I don't really know that that's necessarily an issue. And it's very easy to label that our lines with bearings, just as we label them with dimensions. Actually, we maintain both the line and the polyway layer. So I don't really know if it needs to be an issue.
Do you guys verify the labels? Do you use your assessment map to run out some labels?
Yeah.
Wait, no, so you just check distances, or you just check distances, you don't check the bearings?
We can look at the bearings to see what the bearings are to go into the database. Yeah. But oftentimes you kind of see by looking which direction it's going. So if you're verifying a vehicle.
So you're kind of approximate because some of the data is true or
sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes you do need to go in and actually traverse.
Actually draw that,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, we have to go on time today because people have to leave and we don't want to miss a lot of information that is still available. I just have one thing to do. I will have a short answer for this question right after the break, and I can promise you a long detailed answer on the next conference. I can put another presentation and show how those two worlds can be put together and how the assessor can always have the control on their hands. Instead of giving it away to any other candidate, I'll show you that today and next year. All right? Now, one last thing, guys, please. I have, talking about training, we train everybody in-house. Gary is one of my top ace teachers, therefore legal, interpretation, map, reading, descriptions, etc. So, now, we had our own manuals. We write pretty much everything. The latest thing I would want to share with all the counties is the Los Angeles County Office of the Assessor Mapping and GIS Services Mapping Standards and Procedures. And that's on a CD Gar and I took of 2.5 years writing it up, cleaning up information from memos, bulletins, law, what have you. That was last revised in 1987, something like that. So that's our kind of our pride and joy, baby. So we're going to be our first official distribution of that on DB CD. I would like to give a copy of one copy per county of this right now because I didn't have too many CDs. So, Gary, if you please, just go ahead. I think we have 18 counties present, so I have 20 CDs.
You might be a
different
trainer.
Yeah. For our conference. Yeah, I'm volunteering here. Okay. We have to train the ownership division, coders, motivators, training appraisers. It was that I do most of the GIS and the mapping. You have to teach us. Now I would like to introduce Amadea.